Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, titled, Seven Basic Facts of the Incarnation. Jesus is God who was born of a virgin as a human child. That is what we call the Incarnation. All religions that deny this biblical truth are false religions. And all true Christians embrace the fact of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And in this study, the Holy Spirit gave Paul seven basic truths laid out in our text, which is part of the letter of Paul to the churches in Philippi. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin this study of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, titled, Seven Basic Facts of the Incarnation. This is part 1 of 2.
Right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everyone who has made it out this morning. Thank you for that truth in that song that we'll see in the scripture. Lord, we're thankful that you give us this book so that we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free from all the lies of the devil and all the lies of man. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we just thank you for that truth. We wouldn't know it if it wasn't for the book. And we just ask, Lord, you help us as we study. May the Holy Spirit be the guide and the teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're in, as I said, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And we're titling this from the text, Seven Basic Facts About the Incarnation. And the word incarnation is used in reference to the fact that God became a man. And all the false religions and all the cults deny this basic truth. All the false religions and all the cults, I don't care, we don't have to run through the list of the 3,000 cults that exist in America. We don't have to run through the hundreds of false religions that are considered world religions. Just a fact that outside of biblical Christianity, all religions deny the truth that God became a man and that his name is Jesus. And as we look at, we're coming up on the Christmas season. And yes, it's probable that Jesus was not born in December. And it's probable that there weren't three wise men, that there were more than that. It's probable that the Christmas holiday itself wasn't even originally celebrated in December. It's probably in January or September, according to the history that we know. There's a lot of probably truths about that. But the point isn't to prove how smart we are, and to go around correcting everybody and straighten everybody up on something that the Bible doesn't say one way or the other. You know that? The Bible doesn't tell us to celebrate Christmas. It doesn't tell us not to. Matter of fact, in Colossians it says not to let any man judge us by what holidays we do celebrate. No. We only let God judge us. And so we take part in some of what happens at Christmas, and that is to declare the incarnation. To remind people that Jesus did come, and he wasn't just a man. It was God who came as baby Jesus for the purpose of growing up and becoming a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And we left off in our last study in chapter 2. Paul began where he had taken us through chapter 1, is calling you and I to model the mind and attitude of Jesus Christ. and that is to be selfless. Not selfish, selfless. So the selfless Christian life is found in the mind and life of Christ. Now, God has not called you to die for the sins of the world. And God has not given you powers to perform signs to confirm that you're the Messiah. Amen? I mean, there's a lot of kooks on TV who preach that. That they, you know, the reason the apostles, for example, had the what we call apostolic signs. Why? Because they were still preaching to the Jews who require a sign. And we're going to see as we study Philippians, what you'll see if you study Acts, that the apostolic signs were for the purpose of calling on the Jews to repent of killing their Messiah. And at some point, that was done, and the sign gifts disappeared. And now, I didn't say God doesn't do miracles. God still does miracles. I didn't say God doesn't answer prayer. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Amen? What I said was that you're a kook if you run around telling everybody you have the gift of healing. You're a kook and a liar if you claim to be able to raise the dead. I didn't say you couldn't pray for a dead person laying there, and if they're not embalmed, but someone's just died and you lay hands on them, pray. Go ahead. I'm not telling you not to do that. God can still raise that body. What I'm saying is you don't have that gift. See? And then, so what they got is a bunch of fakes on TV who know that there's going to be people smart enough to realize they don't have that gift. So what do? They then turn around and say it's all about the power of faith, and they put it on you. I'll lay hands on you and I'll heal you if you have enough faith. The lying crook. Because you know what else he wants from you? Your checkbook. You see that these guys, these kooks on TV and everything, mostly on TV, they don't do radio because they have to have smoke and mirrors, and on radio you can't see the smoke and mirrors. So on radio there's different kooks, but like Greg Miller, that guy's on radio. but they've come up with these alternatives to try to rip people off because they themselves are not about being selfless. They themselves don't have the mind of Christ. And so as Christians, whether we're listening to someone teach or we're looking at our own lives, the way we live, we're not trying to mimic everything Jesus did as far as the sign gifts and dying on the cross and being risen from the dead. But we want to mimic his mind and attitude toward the Father. Remember when he prayed, he said, I have come to do the will of my Father. That ought to be your attitude. That ought to be my attitude. Every preacher should have that attitude. Every Christian should have that attitude. So we left off in verse 4. Let's read verse 5. Read that with me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See right there, all this that he said before that has been talking about how we should be selfless. And he talked about himself. Paul was a good example. Paul gave up everything. Paul's life, as far as we know, we only know what's given to us in the Scripture. And when you read about Paul's life, Paul didn't live for Paul. Paul lived for the lost, beginning with his own blood brother and Jews. He was a tribe of Benjamin, and he wanted to reach Israel, and then to the Gentiles. And he was so self-sacrificial that when God told him, I want you to go to the Gentiles, he didn't fight. He didn't say, yeah, I'm a Jew. I want to reach the Israelites. He never stopped trying to reach them, but his ministry was to the Gentiles. Amen. And he selflessly went along with God's will, God's plan. And that might be just something I can stop right there and say, that might hit home with somebody in this room. Maybe you got your idea about what you want to do, but God's got other plans for you. And if you're going to, you know, I'm just going to tell you, if you're fighting that, that's just insane. You're better off to go along with God's will, God's plan. And not only because it's going to be a lot less trouble for you between you and God. Doesn't mean it's going to be less trouble when it comes to daily life. There's places where Paul described what his life was like, and it was no cakewalk. But between him and God, he constantly had peace. And when you lay your head down at night, that's what matters most. And the day comes, you lay your head down for the last time and you're on your deathbed, that's what matters most. And this word selflessness describes Jesus as we consider what he has done to save sinners. And that's where Paul's taking us. When he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He says also, because he's already talked about himself, and he's also talked about what ought to be in all of us. And now he says it's also in Christ Jesus. Read verse 6 and 7 as he begins to describe that. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And I just want to stop for a second and realize that the perverted Bibles destroy this text. It says there, he made himself of no reputation. That sounds like a song. Where did I hear that before? A man of no reputation. I can't sing it. But that's where I actually asked her to practice and sing a different song. And she was having trouble with one of the little turnarounds there on her guitar. And she kept practicing. I said, you know what? It just came to me. I remembered this song. She hadn't sung this in a long time. I said, how about you sing that one next week? And this week, sing your song, A Man of No Reputation. And that's where she got the lyrics from this text. He made himself of no reputation. And it says in verse 6 is where it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but isn't that pretty clear? That Jesus knew he was God and he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. Your perverted Bibles say things like this. This is the ESV, but the NIV and the other ones say the same stuff. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. It's the exact opposite. Christ, Antichrist. The ESV, NIV, all those corrupt, so-called new versions, they're perversions. Just like homosexuality is perversion of human sexuality, the new Bible versions are perversions of God's Word. And so we'll be having a book burning for Halloween. Not really, but wouldn't that be great? And we wouldn't even have to tell the local papers and the news. They'd all be here to local fundamentalist church burning books. News at 11. Yeah, we put it out front. And then if you want to be really famous, throw a Koran in there. Anyway, back to the real Bible. It says that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You got to pick up on these things. A lot of the books, movies, even documentaries that you see, they pretend that Jesus didn't even understand that he was God. Some of them even pretend that Jesus didn't know why he'd come. That the crucifixion was a big shock. That's how they portray it. Of course, anybody who reads the King James Bible and just pick up Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, Read through there and you'll see he knew exactly why he came from the very beginning. So we're going to recognize these seven basic facts about the incarnation. And I figure if we take about 30 minutes for each one, we'll be done by 3 or 4. But I'm going to just list them as we go from the text. First, it said, being in the form of God. Being in the form of God. And I want you to turn over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. You're going to do some Bible flipping this morning. So have your Bibles ready or get your phone app ready or whatever you're using. John chapter 1. And beginning right there in verse 1, it says, read that with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I want to tell you just how incredible the Bible is. Because first of all, if you get a Jehovah's Witness New World Translation, they'll change that last phrase in verse 1 to say the Word was a God, and they'll turn the word God to a small g. Now what they don't want you to know is that they didn't get that from any Greek text or Greek reading. They got that from a French occultist who called up demons, devils, and using that occultic technique, then he rewrote the Bible in French. And that's where he got this reading and interjected it. Wasn't from the Bible in the originals. It wasn't from some other ancient translation. It was from devils. Amen. So if you have any Jehovah's Witnesses show up to your house, try to tell them that. And I always say it's a sad thing. You see how many people are sucked into that cult and going to go to hell. But when you tell them information like that, they show you their true colors because they don't care about the truth. They can actually look it up in their own watchtowers. They can go back in their history. Every Kingdom Hall has a whole shelf with all the copies of the old Watchtower and Awake magazines in hardback. And they can go look any of these things up. And they can see that they originally were told by their Watchtower Society that they got this translation from a translation of the French Bible from Johannes Graeber.
Wow.
Then they took that, it was in the footnotes of their Bible, and they took that footnote out because they didn't want their people going back and researching and finding out that Johannes Graeber was a devil worshiper. See? I'm just going to tell you this. When people tell you stuff about the King James Bible and they tell you it should say this or should say that, just come talk to one of us who have done a little homework on it. You're going to find out. They're not only wrong, but a lot of times the truth is downright satanic. The devil hates that book you've got.
Amen.
And he hates you. And he wants to destroy you, and he knows the way to destroy you is to destroy that book. That's why he's always after it. But another thing I want to tell you is you have people say, well, I believe Jesus was the Son of God. I believe He was divine. And so by those words, you'll think, well, you're a brother in Christ. But again, as I will repeatedly tell you for as long as I'm alive, take the bowl that has the word on it, divine, Son of God, and ask them what definition they poured into that bowl. See? Because what's going on, and I'm not talking about the cults, I'm talking about those United Methodist, Presbyterian Church USA, Episcopalian, Anglican, American Baptist, all these apostate churches. Their preachers are saying things and they're using the same words you use, but they pour different definitions to deceive you. And so you take divine, Son of God. What they mean is that Jesus is the Son of God just like you and I are the Son of God. All of us are God or part of God. God is all, and all is God. And so they can look you in the eye and say, I believe Jesus is God, because they believe everything's God. The universe is all, and all is the universe. It's pantheism, but a lot of them don't like to be labeled that. But that's what it is. And you've got to pick up on this stuff if you want to be protected and to protect your family and loved ones from the coming world religion. You think about, why would the world accept the Antichrist saying, you know, setting himself up in the temple as though he's God? Well, if you believe God is the universe, all is God and God is all, God created all because he is all, then anybody can say, I am God, and they're not crazy in your mind. You see that? You remember what the promise Satan gave Adam and Eve? Ye shall be as gods. Yeah. No, Jesus is unique.
Amen.
He's not the Son of God the way you and I are the sons of God.
Amen.
Jesus is the Son of God eternally, second person of the triune Godhead.
Amen.
Jesus is God everlasting. The angels are called sons of God, with a small s on sons, because they're created. You and I were not created sons of God, but we become sons of God if we believe on his name.
Amen.
To them he gave the power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
But still that small little s on the front of your sons of God. You're still not capital S son of God. Only Jesus is. That's why. Think about this. That's why 2,000 years ago, this book informs you that Jesus is separate from his creation.
Amen.
And that he is the creator to start with.
Amen.
Look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Now verse 3. All things were made by him.
Amen.
Who? Jesus. All things were made by Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus is not part of the creation. He is the creator. And he is unique and separate. That's why, look over verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But a lot of these so-called Christian authors and a lot of this Christian these Christian books that are out there, are, if you will listen for it, you'll be able to pick up that they're trying to convince you of this pantheistic version of Christianity that really is part of the Antichrist world religion eventually. That's what's going on. Jesus is God. If your Jesus isn't God, you don't know the real Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. If your Jesus isn't God, he couldn't have saved you. A created being couldn't have died for the sins of all creation. Only infinite can die and pay for the sins of us finite beings who have violated the infinite God. It took an infinite price to pay for the infinite penalty. And that's why infinite God had to come. Incarnation. The second basic of the incarnation is that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. As we saw that the perversions mess all that up. But first turn to John 8:58. This morning you're getting a little practice. If you open your Bible and follow along,
amen,
you're getting a little bit of practice how to study the Bible. And you take John 8:58 and then turn with your other, with the other side of the book, go to Exodus 3:14 and keep them both open. And we are to compare Scripture with Scripture. The best commentary on the Bible is what?
The Bible.
The Bible. Scripture with Scripture.
Amen.
And so you see over here in John 8:58 that Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And this is just one of numerous places we could go to, but this is great. John 8:58, read that with me. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Amen.
Now, What's he mean by that? Well, let's go back and see what it means when it was originally used in Exodus 3:14. How many of you, when you think of Exodus and think of God speaking to Moses, how many of you think of Jesus? That's who you ought to be thinking of. That's Jesus back there. How do I know? He just said he's the I Am, didn't he? Before Abraham was, I Am. Well, look at Exodus 3:14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. That's Jesus. Pre-incarnate. That's why we call it pre-incarnate. Go to the book of John, he's incarnate. Right here talking to Moses, it's pre-incarnate. And Jesus is talking to Moses and he says, tell Israel, I am, hath sent you. And then later on he's talking to his apostles, and well, he's dealing with the Pharisees, and he says, before Abraham was, I am. You know how I know that's what he was saying? Not only because that's what it says. Go back to John 8. How did they respond? Read verse 59. Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They were going to kill him for claiming to be the I Am. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and he's clear about it. Jesus left no doubt that he was God incarnate. And when you're talking to these people who try to talk you out of believing that, you're dealing with people who are habitual liars. That if they've read the Bible, they are deceived and trying to deceive you. And you better watch, because I think a lot of them have a devil in them. That's the truth. And I don't care if it's your own mother. Amen. I don't care if that's your best friend. I don't care if it's your pastor. You better look out for somebody who denies that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. There's something wrong with that person. The third truth is that he made himself of no reputation. I want to look at this very interesting passage in Matthew 13. If you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 13. And again, in a general sense, this will be true about you, what we're about to read about Jesus. If you take a stand for the Word of God, you stand up for what's true and don't bow, don't compromise. Matthew 13 begins verse 54. It says, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? I get so tired of hearing that crap. I got to tell you, I get so tired of it. I know Jesus he had to get real tired of it, because he's God. He has omniscience. And he demonstrated that he was God. But I want to tell you, you'll get tired of hearing it. Here's how it goes. You'll stand for the truth. And this is mostly Christians who will do this to you. You'll stand for the truth. And in response, they'll just say, you think you know everything. You know what I started doing recently? I know more than you. I don't know everything, but you're ignoramus and I'm not. And that's why you're arguing with me right now without bringing up facts. And you're trying to turn it around to, oh, you think you know everything. You just admitted you're an idiot. If you aren't an idiot, you won't argue against the truth. Someone who argues against the truth is an idiot. Amen. And then when they turn around that on you and say, well, you just think you know everything. No, you just confess that you know you don't know anything. Right. That's what that's about.